I'm Beth Hover, a member of the board for Our Community Cares volunteer organization, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today we will hear the WGXC Congressional Report with the latest news from the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st Congressional Districts in New York. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Mid-Hudson News reports that Governor Kathy Hochul has signed into law legislation restricting the words independence or independent from ballots statewide in an effort to reduce voter confusion. For more than 30 years, the Independence Party in New York has registered more than 400,000 members. Elected officials believe that many voters registered with the Independence Party thinking they were choosing to be unaffiliated, but instead joined the Independence Party. The bill was sponsored by Senator James Skoufis, who said, quote, a party known for preying on independent-minded New York voters to inflate its rolls should have no place in our democratic system, unquote. In addition, the words American, United States, National, New York State, and Empire State have also been banned from appearing on ballot lines. The Independence Party failed to meet new signature requirements in New York and has not appeared on state ballots since 2020. Representative Lee Zeldin's failed gubernatorial campaign attempted to revive the party this year with the assistance of Republicans, but was unsuccessful. Read more about the story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Nick Reisman reports for Spectrum News that Governor Kathy Hochul said on December 15th that the state budget this year should not include any tax increases or budget cuts. Hochul said, and I quote, I don't believe that raising taxes in a time in which we just cut taxes makes sense. We just did that a year ago. I'm not going to turn around and say we're raising taxes. I don't foresee that, end quote. Carolyn Martinez Class, the campaign coordinator of the Invest in Our New York campaign, wishes Hochul would change her mind. Martinez Class said, and I quote, New York voters overwhelmingly think the wealthy paying what they should in taxes makes sense. It allows the state to invest in services that benefit everyone. It's disappointing that the governor is not centering the needs of the people who elected her to office, end quote. Outgoing Budget Director Robert Mojica said the economy has several troubling indicators currently. Mojica said, and I quote, the outlook is extraordinarily challenging. We're seeing most consensus economic forecasters predicting an economic downturn, which is driven by the actions of the federal government, end quote. You can read the full story at Spectrum News.
Amelia Teasdale reports for the Columbia paper that the Kinderhook Town Board on December 5th accepted the retirement certification of town clerk Kimberly Pinkowski after 21 years of service. Pinkowski will retire at the end of the year, and the board will appoint current deputy clerk April Pinkowski to the position. The deputy clerk is a distant relative of Kimberly Pinkowski by marriage. Clerk Pinkowski must send her request to retire to the state. Town clerk is an elected position and will be on the ballot in November 2023. Board member Debbie Johnson said she was making the motion on Pinkowski's retirement, quote, with regret, unquote. Pinkowski has served as town clerk since 2001. Read more about the story in the Columbia paper.
Liz Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that Catskills Board of Education unanimously voted December 14th to spend up to $238,299.40 for emergency repairs at the middle school after a water main break caused a boiler room flood earlier this month. Insurance may cover some of the repairs, and the district repair service fund will pay the balance. The water main broke on December 2nd, at first canceling school for middle and high school students on December 5th. The next day, high school students returned to classrooms, while Catskills middle school students studied online until moving into the high school on December 12th. Interim Superintendent of Schools Thomas Bongiovi wrote a message to parents, and I quote, "We believe that in-person instruction is the best way for our students to learn, and we know that there will be kinks along the way. We are hoping to get our students back to their home at CMS as soon as possible," end quote. Read the full story at Porcupine Soup.
Liz Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that Greene County Highway Superintendent Scott Templeton briefed the county legislature last week on his department's use of alternate materials to keep roads clear in the wintertime. Quote, "We are trying some alternate ways to remove the snow," unquote, Templeton said. Quote, "We are treating some salt piles with some additives," unquote. And he said they are using a product that is 20% magnesium chloride and molasses. More and more municipalities are turning to natural de-icing solutions like molasses beet juice and cheese brine. And because molasses is sticky, it makes any ice melt compound more effective by keeping it on the roads even during a storm, thereby reducing the need for salt. Quote, "The state really wants to get rid of all the salt because they say it's a negative impact on the environment," unquote, said Templeton. His department is responsible for maintaining approximately 262 miles of roads countywide. Road salt also corrodes bridges and parking structures. It is also harmful and toxic to wildlife, and the runoff can become problematic to waterways, according to the Adirondack Council, an environmental group dedicated to ensuring the ecology, integrity, and wild character of the Adirondack Park. Quote, with what New York State is doing in the Adirondacks, trying to reduce the salt they put on the roads, I'm assuming that those procedures and laws are going to start edging further and further south," unquote, said Templeton. Quote, "So I would like to get ahead of that before we are mandated to do it," unquote. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com.
Christy Gustafson Barlett reports in the Times Union that Randy McCartan retired from WRVE 99.5 FM after 40 years working in local radio. McCartan said, and I quote, "I may be doing some part-time on-air work after the first of the year on the river. I am also continuing my voiceover work and audiobook narration," end quote. It isn't the first time he left the local airwaves, as iHeartMedia let him go with many others, but McCartan returned to the River Station in May 2020, nearly 5 months. McCartan had hosted the River Morning Show with Randy McCartan, which became the River Morning Show with Randy and Rachel. His co-host, Rachel Davis, also left the station, and now Kevin Rush hosts the station's morning show from Florida until a permanent replacement is named. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast for Monday, December 19th. And we start each renewable weather forecast at WGXC with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. Right now, the Mobil in Palinville has gas for $3.39 a gallon. That's the lowest, according to the Gas Buddy website. Then we look at the air quality forecast. It's a 29 prediction on Monday. That's virtually the same as on Sunday. The UV index is a 1 for the second day in a row. That's on the low end of the scale. And the water temperature in Albany and the Hudson River is just above 47 degrees. And the average for the last 10 years on December 19th is for just below 45 degrees. So it's about 2 degrees warmer than normal right now. National Weather Service in Albany predicts a slight chance of snow showers, mostly drifting over from the lake effect snow, that won't amount to much on Monday. Mostly sunny is the forecast with a high of 32 and a west wind around 13 miles per hour with gusts as high as 24 miles per hour for spinning local windmills. Monday night, those gusts continue up to 21 miles per hour and partly cloudy skies enter the area with a low around 21. Tuesday should be sunny with a high of 30 and a northwest wind 3 to 8 miles per hour and a low around 14 Tuesday night. And Wednesday, the prediction is for partly sunny skies with a high of 33 and a low around 18. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
After a long absence on local stages, Catskill's Brian DeWan is performing back locally again on Thursday, December 22nd. It's his annual holiday program, and this year it is at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, December 22nd. WGXC should have a live webcast of the performance. It may also be on the FM airwaves. So tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Thursday, December 22nd for Catskill's Brian DeWan's return to local stages and his annual holiday show Thursday, December 22nd at the Avalon Lounge.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for December the 19th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Advocates for low-income families in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts say data shows direct cash payments to families help bring childhood poverty to a record low during the pandemic.
Programs such as the expanded child tax credit and stimulus payments gave families a few hundred dollars a month to help with child care, transportation, or groceries. Some 4 million children were lifted out of poverty. When Congress allowed the programs to lapse, child poverty rose by more than 40%. Former mayor of Boston, now president and CEO of Economic Mobility Pathways, Kim Janey, says pandemic-era policies worked.
Getting the cash, no strings attached, into these households is so impactful, and that we need to let families decide for themselves how to use the money because they know best.
Janey says the cash payments allowed struggling parents to better plan for the future and improve their mental health, knowing their children's basic needs could be met. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
And the final vote from the Georgia Public Service Commission tomorrow on Georgia Power's next 3-year plan. Danielle Smith has a preview.
After months of public hearings, the utility company and state regulatory staff reached a settlement agreement for the next rate hike for customers. It reduces Georgia Power's original request, which was close to $3 billion, to $1.8 billion. Charlene White with the Sierra Club Beyond Coal campaign says if the stipulated agreement is approved, it would go into effect on January 1st.
So what will happen is that the commissioners will review the stipulation and then vote. If they don't agree agree with everything in the stipulation, they have the authority to make motions for the entire commission to reconsider and vote.
White says the agreement covers the rate hike itself, how much money the utility can use for new infrastructure and general maintenance, and how much it gets to recover as profit. Georgia Power serves 2.7 million customers in almost all counties in the state.
Georgia Power recently announced it has completed the cold hydro testing phase for its Vogtle Unit 4. You have likely already heard that criminal referrals are expected today against former President Donald Trump. At the same time, CNN reports Representative Adam Schiff, member of the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack, said Sunday the panel is considering how to hold accountable the GOP lawmakers who defied their subpoenas. Schiff says we'll be considering what's the appropriate remedy for members of Congress who ignore a congressional subpoena, as well as the evidence that was so pertinent to the investigation and why we wanted to bring them in. This is PNS. An Iowa farm advocacy group wants the state's U.S. senators to oppose a deal to allow one of the world's largest pork processors to buy large parts of a southeast Iowa hog supplier. It is a deal that would expand so-called factory farming in the state.
Brazil-based JBS has agreed to buy parts of Tri-Oak Foods, one of the nation's largest pork suppliers. Tri-Oak already sells its hogs to JBS, but this sale would further integrate the two and consolidate an already shrinking number of producers. Hog farmer Barb Kalbaugh, with the group Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement, says this type of consolidation is one more blow to small farmers and, in her view, the worst possible example of vertical integration.
They own the pigs, farmers raise the pigs, and the pigs go to the JBS packing plant. And then JBS sells what they pack to our retailers across the country, grocery stores. Yeah. Starts with the baby pig and goes clear to the dinner table. They own it. And the more they own, the more they control.
Iowa CCI wants Senators Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst, both Republicans, to push to invoke the Packers and Stockyards Act. It was signed into law in 1921 to ensure effective competition and integrity in livestock, meat, and poultry markets. I'm Mark Moran.
Meatpacking companies say deals like these allow them to become more efficient. With the new General Assembly session just around the corner, AARP Colorado is stepping up recruitment efforts for its legislative advocacy team.
Team Director Allison Hiltz is hoping that new technologies and rules established during the pandemic will make it much easier for older Coloradans who do not live in high population centers along the Front Range to make their voices heard.
We have this incredible opportunity now with virtual testimony at the Capitol to start bringing in voices that haven't traditionally had access to the process by going down to the Capitol and testifying in person.
I'm Eric Galatas.
And finally, our Eric Tanoff has an Idaho perspective as organizations across the country will be celebrating the anniversary of a nuclear weapons treaty in the new year.
The Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons bans their use, possession, testing, and transfer under international law. While enacted in January 2021, no nuclear-armed nation has signed it. Ralph Hutchison with the Oak Ridge Environmental Peace Alliance says the United States has expressed its opposition to the treaty.
It's a complete and total ban on nuclear weapons. You can't make them, you can't sell them, you can't deploy them. And the measure of the power of the treaty to me is how scared the United States government is of this treaty.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your week with Public News Service. Member and listener supported. Here are some great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find your trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, December 19th. Local early morning temperatures range from 23 degrees in Tannersville to 33 in Kinderhook. We are 96.7% of the way through the year. That means only 2 days left until winter starts. But don't fret, folks. I still don't think this winter is going to be that bad. Regional average soil temperature is 37 degrees. Closest likely snowfall today will be in western Greene County. The higher elevations should catch some lake effect, especially this afternoon. Down on the ground should be mostly flake-free, and we get a high temperature of 37 degrees at 2 p.m. Afternoon winds put conditions at freezing. Layer up gloves and hats today. Overnight, we dip to 22 degrees, then bounce back up to 35. A dangerous dip in temperature overnight, hitting 15 degrees. Then on Wednesday, we get a high of 35. Thursday, precipitation returns. Not exactly what kind yet, so we're keeping an eye on it. Sunset today will be at 4:12 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:15 a.m. Looking way up, we see chances for geomagnetic storms are up today due to a plasma stream shockwave that cracked open our planet's magnetosphere. As such, the Aurora Oval has reached down almost to the northern continental states. Solar wind speed is currently 315 kilometers per second at 5.7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently ruined by the plasma shock and will only be fair below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 128. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Amanda Lees of Freehold, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Follow WGXC on Facebook or Twitter. There will be constant updates of on-air interviews, community news, weather warnings, and more at twitter.com/WGXC. And those WGXC Twitter messages also go to facebook.com/WGXC radio. Tune in to WGXC on 90.7 and at the web at WGXC.org.
Oh, hey, man, I haven't seen you around for a while. Where you been? Oh, you know, I just been woodshedding. Oh, yeah, where's that? Oh, out in the woodshed. Oh, cool, dude, cool. What you working on? Oh, you want to check it out? Yeah, I got it on my mini disc player. Oh, yeah, let me hear it. Yeah, that's something I've been working on out in the woodshed. Oh, yeah, I like that sound, man. Hold on, let me play you something I got on my new DAT. Yeah, it's a DAT player. I've been working on it outside in the garage. Hold on, let me get it for you. Okay, put your headphones into this magic. Oh, that sounds eerily similar, but I really like it. Yeah, hopefully we can play together sometime so we can gang up on some serious power chords. Like this one? What about this one? Yeah, I like that one. We'll see you around, man. Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night from 10 p.m. till midnight. Tune in.
We don't always go to school, but we always go to
Sometimes we stay up and go to them. This is more important, you'll get educated and Exeteria. I always get in for free, I only paid once a Exeteria.
And you're listening to 90.7 WGXC Acre Catskills. Today. Catskills.
After a long absence on local stages, Catskills' Brian DeWan is performing back locally again on Thursday, December 22nd. It's his annual holiday program, and this year it is at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, December 22nd. WGXC should have a live webcast of the performance. It may also be on the FM airwaves. So tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Thursday, December 22nd for Catskill's Brian DeWan's return to local stages and his annual holiday show Thursday, December 22nd at the Avalon Lounge. Now let's hear from Columbia County-based drummer, composer, percussionist Bobby Previtt. He's got a 2022 album out, a solo electronic record called Dark Current. Let's listen to The Surveyor. We'll be right back.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
He lied, he bullied, he betrayed his oath. He tried to destroy our democratic institutions. He summoned a mob to Washington.
Democratic Congressman and January 6th Committee Chair Benny Thompson says they're going to make criminal and civil referrals related to the actions of former President Donald Trump and his supporters because of the attack on the Capitol. The panel holds its final public meeting today.
Good old days, okay? I don't know what happened to the good old days, but I can tell you they're not here now.
Senator Joe Manchin has long lamented Washington partisanship, but he's going to remain a Democrat. Fellow party dissident Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema has become an independent. However, the West Virginian has again refuted rumors that he's leaving the Democratic Party. Representative Ro Khanna of California says Congress needs to protect the rights of American workers by better funding the National Labor Relations Board.
All the folks are out there standing with the wonderful Starbucks organizers, the Amazon organizers. They won't succeed if the NLRB isn't funded.
Khanna says $300 million more so the NLRB can work through a backlog of labor rights cases is crumbs compared to the almost $1 trillion defense authorization bill. Nazanin Ash of the nonprofit Welcome.us says tens of thousands of Afghans brought to the U.S. last year deserve a permanent home.
Refugees have an extraordinary history of success here in the United States. Most, 90% who participate in job placement programs are self-sufficient within 6 months.
U.S. military leaders are also urging passage of the Afghan Adjustment Act. They say the U.S. has a moral obligation to protect its Afghan allies from the persecution they would face if deported back to Afghanistan. Supporters say they're optimistic about a bipartisan bill to cut the gap in sentences for possession of crack and powdered cocaine. Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey says the Equal Act would make the criminal justice system more racially fair.
We will not let this fall to the grind of bureaucratic politics. We will not let this end because this is an issue of justice.
The new sentencing guidelines would apply retroactively to those already convicted. Crack has the same effects as powdered cocaine, but carries much harsher sentences and has been more common in communities of color. Jury selection begins today in the trial of five members of the Proud Boys, charged with seditious conspiracy in connection with the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Finally, White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Ashish Jha says Americans should still celebrate the holidays together, despite a 30% increase in COVID-19 cases in the U.S. since Thanksgiving. Jha recommends people who haven't gotten a COVID-19 shot in the last 6 months should get the newest booster. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Monday, December 19th, 1 p.m. Eastern, the January 6th committee holds its last hearing, with some additional witness information from the members of the U.S. Secret Service and a vote on criminal referrals, including for former President Donald Trump. NPR reports, based on anonymous sources, that 2 criminal referrals will be considered for the former president, including obstruction of an official proceeding of Congress and conspiracy to defraud the United States. A vote to make the referrals does not compel the Justice Department to act. Also expected is recent testimony from members of the U.S. Secret Service on former President Trump's actions during and after the rally, trying to corroborate White House staffer Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony that Trump attempted to force his detail to return him to the insurrection. Other recent testimony includes former staffer Hope Hicks, former advisor Kellyanne Conway, and Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. In addition to criminal referrals, recommendations are expected for others involved in the attempt to subvert the election, including to the Federal Elections Commission, the House Ethics Committee, and state bar associations. The committee's 1,000-page report will be released no later than December 21st. Most major radio and TV networks are likely to carry the hearing. Links to articles and the January 6th committee's timeline can be found at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
is over. Lift the anchors, set an open course for New York state lines. I think of all that went wrong. The sailor boys light up in song and they sing of London. Love they made there, will it really last any time? What's that that you said to me? Oh, I'm a chaos space marine, so what? I love you, darling, will you take my metal hand? It's cold. In time you will find these things take up space inside your mind. Where you could be keeping the haunting stars of the sea.
...2022 new music there from Black Country New Road. The song is called Chaos Space Marine on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
This is the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Current Democratic Representative Paul Tonko from the 20th District votes with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website. Republican Elise Stefanik, currently representing the 21st District, votes with Biden's positions 19.3% of the time. Democrat Pat Ryan just began representing the 19th Congressional District and has yet to be included in the 538 rankings. Ryan will represent the 18th Congressional District in January, when Republican Mark Molinaro takes over representing the 19th Congressional District.
Joe Mahoney reports in the Press Republican that Representative Elise Stefanik was the only member of the House Republican leadership team to vote on December 8th in favor of a final measure giving federal recognition to same-sex and interracial unions. Only 39 Republican representatives voted with all 219 Democrats for the Respect for Marriage Act. Stefanik spokesperson Palmer Brigham said the Congresswoman's vote is in line with, and I quote, her views on how states should respect concealed carry permits and military family spousal licensing, just as she believes concealed carry permit should be recognized from state to state. This bill will ensure if a marriage is recognized in one state, it is recognized in another, end quote. Brigham added, and I quote, the bill includes important provisions to uphold religious liberty and not encroach on the sincerely held beliefs of Americans, end quote. Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, a Republican who begins representing New York's 19th congressional district in January, said he would have supported the legislation. Democrats Paul Tonko and Pat Ryan also voted for the bill. And you can read the full story in the Press Republican. Larry Rollison is reporting in the Times Union that Representative Elise Stefanik wants the Federal Bureau of Investigation to be transparent, but she herself is not following the same advice. Stefanik blasted the FBI on December 13th over what she calls an ongoing lack of transparency regarding the Bureau's internal investigation into the past interactions with the family at the center of the 2018 Schoharie limousine crash. But Stefanik won't share the contents of a letter she received from the FBI last month. The letter she won't share prompted her to attack the FBI. The FBI's inspection division last spring opened a probe to examine its investigation of Shahid Hussein, an FBI informant who owned the Wilton-based limousine company involved in the limo crash, which killed 20 people in Schoharie County. Stefanik, a Republican member of the House Intelligence Committee that oversees the FBI, said on December 13th that she would follow through on a promise to subpoena the Bureau about the issue when Republicans become the majority party in the House of Representatives in January. Stefanik said in a statement on December 13th, and I quote, "The FBI is completely failing their responsibility to inform Congress, and they can no longer brush off my request on behalf of New York families. These families and the entire Schoharie community were devastated by the deadly limo tragedy that could have been avoided if not for FBI negligence," end quote. But Stefanik declined to provide any evidence that the FBI has not been forthcoming. Stefanik's office refused requests for a copy of the FBI's recent letter and would not say why they would not share the letter, although a brief email from her office cited unspecified, and I quote, "sensitivities," end quote. An FBI spokesperson declined to comment on the issue. A New York Magazine article on the crash earlier this year prompted Stefanik and Representative Paul Tonko, a Democrat, to demand the FBI answer questions about whether or not it had protected Hussein from legal trouble during his time as an FBI informant. Testifying before the House Intelligence Committee earlier this year, FBI Director Christopher Wray told Stefanik that the FBI did not want to publicly speak about its interactions with Hussein because doing so may imperil the Bureau's relationships with its undercover informants. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Republican Mark Molinaro gave his farewell address as Dutchess County Executive on December 16th, as he was elected to represent the 19th Congressional District beginning in January. Here's an excerpt of his speech from Mid-Hudson News.
"And how these years of holding elected office have shaped and defined my love of public service. 28 years and 16 oaths of office later, you will find no one more grateful for this community and its people than me. A product of three local school districts and graduate from our county's academic jewel, Dutchess Community College, I met my wife Corinne at a John Flowers celebration. We fell in love at a great Dutchess County park, Dutchess Stadium, and we continue to raise our family in the corner of Dutchess that raised me. Dutchess County is, by every estimate, a special place. Having traveled extensively throughout New York State, I know this firsthand. For my entire adult life, I've had the honor of representing and serving the people of this great community. First as a village trustee, mayor, and county legislator, then as state assemblyman, and for the last 11 years, this entire community as your county executive. We've laughed together, cried together. We've triumphed in one another's joys and mourned each other's sorrows. We've learned, grown, innovated, and thrived together. We have repeatedly reached across the aisle, across the state, and across America to improve the life of our community and the lives of those who call it home. Make no mistake, our collaborative approach has made an immeasurable impact on the lives of countless county residents. It has literally saved lives, helped to rebuild communities. And as I leave this office, I trust that this sense of cooperation and understanding will long prevail.
This has been the WGXE Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to the WGXE newsroom, wgxc.org, for more information. Here's Nigerian guitarist Madur Maktur with the song Umur Har, the drum machine version, from the 2022 album Niger EP Volume 1.